All right. Well, I know you kids just got out of school pretty soon, but we're going back to school today. No groans, no groans. And adults, we're going back to school today too. So we are going to the School of Obedience. We've been talking about living a life dedicated to following God. We've been talking about living a life being, remember last week, a doulos, a slave, a bondservant to God. So today we're going to go and we're going to learn about obedience. So stand, if you will, turn to John 14, verse 15, and we're going to read a short verse that tells us about the interrelationship between obedience and being a child of God. So that's John 14, 15. And Jesus sets out this principle that basically says love is inseparable from obedience. I put a screen up there as we were going through the announcements that says, you know, what we really believe is what we obey. And isn't that true? I mean, if we really don't think the speed limit needs to be 55 miles an hour on a completely empty road with nobody around, do we do 55 miles an hour? No, we don't, okay? So what we really believe is what we obey. And here's what Jesus said in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You can be seated. Now, some of your scriptures, your translations will add the words, you will. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what this verse says is, if you love Jesus, if you have truly given your heart to Jesus, there will be, not there may be, not there might be, but there will be a resulting obedience, a life of submission, a life of service, where you recognize Him as Lord. You remember Jesus asked the Pharisees one time, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say to do? I mean, that's pretty pointed, isn't it? I mean, they're up here going, Lord, Lord. He goes, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? Could he say that to us sometimes? I think he could. So we need to understand that this is an inseparable link. It's a cause and effect. Once we profess our love for him, once we profess our devotion to him, this type of obedience is going to result. In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, John the Apostle, same guy that wrote the verse we read before, says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. You see what John keeps referring to? Who's he talking about knowing that they are in Jesus Christ? It's us. It's by this obedience, we know that we are in him. What is it that tells others that we're in Christ? It's love. Remember, by this all men may know that you are my disciples. But what's one of the ways we know? We know because we desire to obey God, and we do obey God. It does not mean that we never sin. That's not what it means, but our desire, it actually means our bent, if that makes sense. You know, the bent in your life, the direction of your life is to obey God. And that is not the bent of an unsaved person's life. The bent of a person's life who has not experienced Jesus Christ is to do their own thing, to have fun, do whatever the world wants them to do. But when you accept Jesus Christ, your bent changes. You get a different desire, and that is a godly desire. And one of those desires we get is to actually obey God. Instead of thinking, oh man, it's a rule, I got to do it, we now get to think, I get an opportunity to obey God. We're going to talk next week about the thrill of obedience. Because a lot of people think, man, anybody ever think rule following is just a dud? It's a drudgery? That's not the way we need to look at obedience to God. And you're going to see next week that obeying God in even just the simplest little thing can produce dramatic, thrilling results. And we're going to look at a Bible story that you won't be able to resist it, and you got to get that lesson out of it. But today we got to take a step back and say, what do we need to do to obey? And we got to realize obeying does not come naturally. Obeying God does not come naturally to people. First of all, they have to accept Christ, and we know that that's not a natural thing. But how many of you really like to follow orders? Nobody? Nobody's raising their hand. I mean, I kind of do in some ways. I wish everybody else did. See, I wouldn't mind following orders, this is my view, if this is not your pastor's view, this is Parks' sinful man view, that if everybody else followed the rules, I would love to follow the rules. We're going to learn that that's a bad philosophy in a minute, okay? But, you know, we all have reasons we don't want to follow the rules. I don't like the rules. I don't think the rule applies to me or whatever. But this is God teaching us to follow the rules. And we know we have to learn it. The psalmist said in Psalm 86, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way." And later on he says, "Teach me the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it." So God is going to teach us through his word the way that he wants us to obey, the way that we are to live, because it doesn't come naturally. So we're going to look at seven things today that we need to do to learn to trust God. All right, we're going to look at seven things to learn to trust God. And the first one is the obvious one. We need to learn to trust him. Okay, that's number one. And we go to this verse a lot, but turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, if you will. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So when we look at this, let's break that down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's lesson number one. In order to learn to obey him, we have to trust him. Do you generally obey people you do not trust? Generally, no. Okay? Do you generally trust people that you believe don't know what they're talking about? You generally don't. We've talked about asking me to fix a car. Don't trust me. Don't do that. We know that's not a good plan. But if you want to talk about principles of law, or you want to talk about scripture, you can trust me, okay? But you know that whoever you're getting this advice from needs to be trustworthy and competent. Well, who's more trustworthy and competent than God, who knows everything, created everything, sustains everything? So watch this progression. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." So we know he's created. We know he's got all this knowledge. And we know that we can trust him. But how do we do that? The verse actually explains it. In order to trust him, we need to first not lean on our own understanding. Right? So don't think, "I know how to do it." Don't think, "I'm going to do it my way." Lean on him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So why is this step one of learning to obey? Because when you trust in him and you acknowledge him and you let him direct your path, in that first very little thing, in that first very simple act of obedience, and you see him act through it, it's like a shot of adrenaline. You understand, wow, God's in this. God's in this obedience thing. And it leads to just such a thrilling conclusion. But what we try to do sometimes is we're going to let him do it until it gets uncomfortable, and then we kind of want to take back over. Y'all ever get like that? And what the Bible's saying is, don't do that. Don't lean on your own response. Don't lean on your own understanding. Keep your trust in him. Listen to what he wants you to do, and he will direct your paths. So we have to learn this, and we learn by doing. We learn by putting that trust in him, acknowledging him, letting him see something through to conclusion, and then looking back in 2020 hindsight and saying, wow, I see how he brought that to be. Anybody got an experience in your life where you didn't think it would work out and God worked it out? Yeah, lots of you. That's great. And, you know, it can be the darkest, midnightest, deep, dark, gloom situation. You don't see a way out. God does. And when we trust Him, we see Him act. Think about all the trials and tribulations that Abraham had. I mean, he didn't start out by telling Abraham, go sacrifice your son. I mean, I doubt Abraham would have trusted him at that point. I don't know. But he built up little step by step. We're going to talk a lot about Abraham this morning. But he built up Abraham's trust by telling him, do this, I will be in it. Do this, I will protect you. And Abraham obeyed. And the more Abraham obeyed, the more he saw that God was in control. The more he saw that God really would protect him, that God was in charge of this. And it reaffirmed his belief so much that when God said, go sacrifice this only child that you and Sarah have that I told you would be the source of life beyond number, go sacrifice him. He says, and he got up and he went. Okay? That's trusting, right? And when he went up the hill finally after 3 days travel, what did he tell his servants? You guys stayed here. We will be back. The boy and I will be back. He knew that God was going to do something because he trusted God. And that's how we have to be. So that's step one. We have to learn to trust him. The second one, I think, is one of the hardest ones. We have to learn to wait on him. Anybody ever had trouble waiting on God? Oh, yes. Yes, we all got that. Psalm 62 says, look, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. So you notice the connection between wait and courage? It takes a lot of courage to wait on God. It actually takes a lot of courage to trust God too. Because the world is bombarding you with answers, the answers of the world. But the trusting, the wise thing to do is always, as we read in the first one, to trust God. But it's always better to wait on God. Anybody here ever had an experience where God didn't give you what you wanted right off the bat, but he gave you something better later on? Good. I mean, you guys can't see this. I get to see all the hands going up. It's great. People need to understand God has your best interest in heart. We've been talking about that for weeks. And the point is that God will give you his best. We kind of think in a limited way, right? We think, oh, this is best in my little view of the world because I don't know all the circumstances. But God does. And he says, I know what's ultimately best for you. I'm going to take you through here, and plot your path. But we got to wait. Think about what are we supposed to do when we're confronted with a bear? I read a story about some people getting confronted by a bear in Gatlinburg this week. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to lay down and play dead. I think that takes courage. What do we all want to do immediately? Run. See? That's why you hike with slower people, because you could at least outrun one of them, right? But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lay down and play dead and wait for the bear to go away. That takes a ton of courage. Waiting on God takes that much courage because here's what happens a lot of times. You get in this situation where you're challenged to obey God. You know what it is to trust him. But trusting him requires you to wait. Requires you to keep going through this really bad situation that you're going through. Now, you guys know, if you've been here the past 3 or 4 weeks, he's going to work it out for your good, right? Everybody knows that, right? But it's hard. It doesn't, you know, that makes it easier knowing that, but it's still hard to go through it. What if it's actually a physical challenge? What if you've got something that is crushing you from the outside? You've got to wait. It is the wise thing to wait. So God says, number one, trust me. And number two, wait on me. because I will give you the best answer. Number three, we have to learn to meditate on the Word of God, because this is how God answers us a lot. Everybody go ahead and turn over to Joshua 1, verse 6. And as you go there, let me tell you what meditation means in this sense. It doesn't mean reading through really quick and passing on. It means letting the Word get deep into you. It actually means let the Word be engraved on your mind. So think how long it would take to physically engrave the Word of God on your mind if you were doing it by hand. That's how long the Bible says, the old Hebrews said, I want you to spend in the Bible. I want you to spend time thinking about what this means. And here's what he told Joshua. And you're going to see this courage element again. He says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. Then verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written into it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So, you know, Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And God's telling them again, be strong, be courageous, trust me. He's given them all these instructions. But then he says, meditate on my word. So how do we meditate on God's word? You let it sink in. You don't breeze through your scripture readings. You think, how does this relate to me? How does this relate to my situation today? How does this relate to God today? You know, we can remember what God has done in the past. We can remember God's word. Remembering takes thought, right? I mean, and this is what the writer is saying. He's saying, look, think about God. Don't just take God for granted. Think about it. That takes recall. It takes energy. And then talk about it constantly. That's going to be something that the Hebrews did. It's something we ought to do. We ought to talk about all the great things God is doing. We ought to talk about how we've trusted Him. You know, you guys raised your hands. That's great. Talk about how you've waited on Him and talk about how that became good. Right? Talk about how tough it was, but how He brought you through that situation. Talk about what we learn through meditating on His Word. It means to contemplate, to give serious thought to His Word. You guys that were here for the graduation ceremony, one of the verses the kids liked more than anything, they told me a couple, was this one. It said, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Now, they kind of liked the part that said, I have more insight than all my teachers. But the reason they have more insight than their teachers in some of those cases is because they're meditating on their word, on God's word. Even the person who gets straight F's, if they are in God's word and understand God's word, is wiser than that college professor who is an atheist. Right? Y'all understand that? God didn't give professional degrees to these apostles. You realize these apostles were fishermen, right? Except for Paul. The 11 were fishermen. They were regarded as some of the dumbest people on the planet by the Jewish leaders. In fact, when Peter preaches this sermon at Pentecost, which by the way is today, they're like, who is this guy? I thought he was a fisherman. That's what they talked about. And Peter just, boom, nails them, indicts them, and teaches them about Jesus Christ. And they're like, this guy's a fisherman. Where did he get this knowledge? He got it from Jesus Christ. And you know, Paul, who had all this lofty knowledge from all of his education, said, I'm glad to lose all of that because now I've been with Jesus Christ. So we gotta meditate. We gotta focus on what the Word says. We gotta think, what does it mean in my life? What's it? And here's the biggest question. What is it asking me to do? I hope you ask that question every time you leave here. What did God's Word today ask me to do? If you're not asking that question, I'm not doing my job. I want to challenge each of you to ask that question. Because God is speaking to you, and Jesus never said anything without calling for a response. So he's challenging us each and every time that we read his word, each and every time we hear his word, to do something. It may be as simple as to go pray for somebody. It may be take somebody a loaf of cornbread. It may be, you know, take them a basket of fruit. I don't know. But he will lead you into something. He will lead you into some kind of service that glorifies him, visiting them, waving to them. You know what? We get to such a society today, saying a nice word to someone is an uplifting experience. That's sad, isn't it? But it's true. A lot of people don't ever get a nice word said to them. Say something nice to somebody. Smile at them. That's weird too. People think that's weird nowadays. Open the door for them. So we need to understand, we need to be thinking about God constantly. So the fourth one, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now this one, we ought to know this, but listen to what Jesus says about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. So you think, well, why? Number one, why would I listen to the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." So what's this helper going to do? "The Father will send him in my absence, and he will teach you all things." So he's going to teach us, and he's going to bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So he's going to teach us, and he's going to make us remember. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. We know that. You have God, if you are a child of God, living on the inside of you. And this God is going to make you remember things, and he's going to bring God's word to your mind. So when he does that, shouldn't we listen? Should we? We listen to the world. We listen to Dr. Phil. We listen to whatever systems we have. We need to listen to God's word. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that he's talking to us. And how does he talk to us? Well, he talks to us in our prayers. Remember, prayer is two ways. And when we meditate on the Word of God, you're going to read a verse that jumps out at you and say, well, I didn't know it said that. Or I've read that verse 50 times and I never got that out of it. Anybody ever had that experience? Yeah. And you know, it's just whatever he's needing to get to you that day. So we listen, we rely upon him, and that's going to help us trust in God. It's going to help us wait on God, and it's going to be part of our meditation on the Word of God. But when the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is the way, walk you in it, don't turn to the right or to the left, just like he told Joshua, should we turn to the right or the left? No, we should just keep walking in that way. The Holy Spirit will holler at you if you let him. When we're getting ready to sin, and we know it, Holy Spirit will be yelling at you, don't do this. When you sin, the Holy Spirit will be yelling at you, hey, you just sinned. This is what you did wrong. He's not going to just generally say, hey, you're a lousy person. That is not what he's going to say. He said, this is what God's command was, and you just violated it. Why is he doing that? He's doing that so, number one, maybe you don't sin. Maybe you understand and listen to him and don't. But if you do, he's saying you need to confess, and you need to confess it now. Remember, because God is faithful and just to forgive. The Holy Spirit wants us in union with God so that we do trust him and listen to him and are able to meditate on his word. So we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to listen. We did a high school exercise today in the high school class talking about learning to listen to adults, learning to listen to parents. A lot of times, y'all as kids, right, we didn't always listen to our parents. Can anybody say they didn't do that all the time? Okay. You don't. But, you know, what happens is you get older, and this is hard to admit, very hard, you realize that your parents were right. Maybe not every time, but a large part of the time. Anybody ever hit that point yet? Good. Okay, there's a couple. Yeah. So And boy, it is a crashing realization. The other one is when you give the exact same advice that your parent gave to your child, and you say, I'm never going to be like that. Mom, I'm never going to say that to my son. And then there you go, and it's like, oh, my word, I just did it. But because it's true. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit that way. He will bring into our remembrance things we need to remember. Y'all ever had a verse just pop into your head? And it gives you some guidance. It gives you peace. That's the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of God that you have that ability to hear. So the Holy Spirit will shout at you. Don't press Him down. A lot of times people don't listen and they'll just put Him aside, and that voice gets smaller and smaller and smaller. We want to hear that yelling. We want to hear Him saying, stop. We want to hear that so we can not make the same mistake we made before. But that's the fourth thing we need to do. The fifth thing that we need to do is we need to learn to walk when the way is not crystal clear. We talked, I guess, last Wednesday about using the GPS systems and planning vacations and planning trips. Those of you that are here on Wednesday night, except for Mark and Sheila, understand that concept. Certain things they will never live down. But here's the thing. Y'all ever program an address in a GPS system and you end up going through some place that you think, how in the world is this going to get me where I'm going? Anybody ever not had that experience? I preached one time up in Dover, and we programmed the GPS, and it took us through people's driveways, these dirt roads, you guys remember? Dirt roads, gravel roads. And sure enough, we got there, but we had no clue where we were, but we had to trust the GPS system, right? We had to trust the global positioning system. We've got to trust God's plan of salvation. Still GPS initials, right? So I put up here Genesis 12. We're not going to read that whole chapter, but I do want to read Hebrews 11:8. And both of these talk about Abraham. And it says in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, and here's the key phrase, not knowing where he was going. God called him. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, which he did for the most part, and I want you to go into a land that I will show you. So Abram picks up and he takes his family and he goes, and he has no clue where he's going. But he obeyed. And God showed him step by step where he was to go. God didn't lay the whole plan out for him at the very beginning. Don't we kind of wish God would do that sometimes? I'd love to know a lot of these plans he has and where the end result is, but that's not the way he works, because he says, look, my lamp is a light unto your feet, and that light is just enough for you to see where that next step is. Why doesn't he show us the whole plan? Because then we're not walking by what? We're not walking by faith. That's right, we're walking by sight. He wants us to walk by faith. So we need to learn to walk when the way, the ultimate destination, is not clear. All I need to do is obey. And if I'm obeying Him, He's going to guide my steps. He's going to take me wherever it is He wants me to go. And let me remind you something. If God's called you to do something, not only has He gone before you, not only is He behind you, but He's beside you. He's all around you in this effort. When you are doing God's will, you can't be outside of His presence. He's going to open the door. He's going to protect you from the behind. He's going to be with you while you're doing it. So you're never alone, and He is always going to walk with you. He just says, trust me. I will show you step by step what I want you to do, but you got to trust me. And that leads us to the next one. This one's kind of hard too, number six. We need to learn to leave the consequences of obedience to Him. See, we have kind of I have a system. Somebody says, hey, we need to make this decision. Well, my immediate thought is, in the business world, I'm going to prepare a pro and con list, right? Here's the pros on the left side. Here's the cons. Some people call that a risk-benefit analysis. I'm going to do a risk-benefit analysis. What's the risk? What's the benefit? Should I do this? Now, in business, that may work, but in God's world, the analysis should stop at, God says to do this, period, right? It shouldn't be, God says to do this, should I do it? If God says to do something, what's the answer to that question? Should we do it? Yes, sir. Right? So think about it. Think about this. God says to do something, and we kind of worry about the consequences, don't we? Well, what if I go knock on a door and they slam the door in my face? Well, then they slam the door in your face, you turn around, get in the car, and go. Okay? But that's not your job. What if we put on this whole VBS in a couple of weeks and not a single child comes forward? It's okay. Because we have obeyed. God will handle the consequences. What if we extend the invitation to this church for 365 Sundays in a row and not one person gets saved? Well, I hope that's not the case. That's not been the case. But you know what? As long as we're obedient, God will handle the consequences. Remember, as a slave, remember that from last week? If a slave goes out and does the master's bidding, who had to answer for the consequences? The master. Okay? And that's the way God is. God says, go and tell. He's going to handle the rest. Right? We obey. Show love one to another. Just obey. If God's going to do something, He's already seen what's going to happen, right? He already knows the result. He already knows what those consequences are, and He's still calling us to do it. So that means that God has a plan, right? We've seen that, and God's plan is always for good. It's not for evil. And even if we have problems in it, if we face persecution, if we face enemies in doing what it is He's called us to do, God says, do it anyway, just like Joseph. 22 years to figure out what God was up to, but He did, right? And God was glorified through it. We need to understand that our purpose really is to glorify God. And when we do that, we don't care about the consequences. We don't do that risk-benefit analysis in our spiritual life. We don't do that risk-benefit analysis in saying, well, wait a minute, if I follow God, I could get in trouble. You know, Thomas gets a really bad, y'all heard Doubting Thomas, we know who he is, right? Jesus is telling His disciples, hey, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be tortured, I'm going to be killed, and this is what's going to happen. And Thomas, who we give a bad rap, was the one that said, well, we're going with you then. Let's go. If we die, we die. Okay? I mean, he loved Jesus enough to go with Him and not worry about the consequences. You know, another, Philip said, Lord, you know, where are we going to go but you? Peter said the same thing. Where would we go but to you? They understood how important it was to obey Jesus and follow Jesus. And they didn't care about the consequences. Now, Peter did on that night when he denied Christ three times. We backslide every once in a while. We still sin. But you think Peter's bent in life again was to honor and glorify God? Oh, yeah. Yes, we see that from the rest of his life. So we need to leave the consequences of obedience to Him and not worry about them. And finally, and this one's hard too, we need to learn to accept God's discipline with thanksgiving. This one's hard. Anybody ever get a spanking when you were growing up? Yeah. Okay. And here's the thing. You looking back at the spanking you got, your parents was probably right to give you that spanking. Or your grandmother was, mine sent me out to get my own switch. That was worse thing. So you're going, you're trying to figure out which one's going to hurt less. But our parents and our grandparents were right. So we need to learn to accept God's discipline. And I gave you a verse there, Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. Listen to what it says. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Well, why not? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. This is one of those verses that gives you comfort when God's disciplining you because you know God loves you, right? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You ever felt like you're being disciplined by God? If you have, it's a sign that he loves you. So you be thankful for it and you learn from it. So what's the lesson we would learn? I don't know, but whatever it is, it's going to be we need to listen to God. Our lessons are all going to be different. You know, it may be don't ride bikes too fast around a corner. It may be don't ride skateboards when your parents are in the hospital. Whatever. It could be any kind of thing, but it's going to be individual to you. And he's going to teach you something. So as we look back through these things, here's what you should have. In order to graduate from the school of obedience, we need to learn to trust him. We need to learn to wait on him. We need to learn to meditate on his word. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to walk when the way is not clear. We need to learn to leave the consequences of obedience to him. And we need to learn to accept godly discipline. The last two words are important, with thanksgiving. That's how we learn to obey. It is a process. We don't come into the world ready to obey anybody. Anybody that's had a little child knows that, right? They don't call them the terrible twos for nothing. We learn to obey. We even learn to obey our parents. We learn to obey those in charge with school. We learn to obey the authorities. We have to learn to do this because we come in with our own will and we're going to do what we want to do. And once we learn that, we're ready to live that life of obedience. We're ready to live the life of submission that God calls us to live. So today, my question to you is, have you obeyed him? What's his first command? Believe on my son who I sent to die for you. If you've not done that, then you're not obeying God. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, he's told you to do that. So do that today. If you're a child of God and you say, well, you know, I'm not trusting him, I'm not waiting on him, or any of these seven things have kind of pricked your heart, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And he's saying, you know, you got an issue here. You need to do this. You need to do this. Listen to him. Remember, that's part of learning to obey. Again, next week you will see the thrill of obedience, but the bottom line is Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love him, the end result is that the bent of your life will be obedience. You won't be perfect, at least not in this life, but you will obey. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today and we ask you, just as the psalmist did, to teach us to follow you. We commit, Lord, to follow your truths today. We commit to follow you in obedience. Lord, we thank you for these lessons. We thank you for what you taught us through your son. We thank you for what you've taught us through Abraham and all these people that you've given us as examples. Lord, may you be glorified in our obedience. We don't do it to be rule followers. We don't do it to earn rewards, really. We do it because you saved us and we love you. And it is a sign that we believe in you and that we trust you and that we honor you and that we praise you and that we love you. Lord, may we never obey just to obey. That's the wrong heart. But may you always give us a mindset that says, I want to obey. I want to show him how much I love him. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to make a decision today, I pray that they do it. They can come forward if they want, or they can make the decision right where they are, Lord. But you're calling them to obey. You're calling them to trust in your son, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and to live a life dedicated to following him. Lord, I pray that we would just trust and obey. And this we pray in his name. Amen.